Could you all hear the question?
No.
You guys?
No.
No? They wanted to know about the faith struggles regarding my relationship with my father when I was losing my wife and I was sick and thinking I was probably going to die. Well, it would be deceitful to suggest there was no impact, because I had to come to grips with the fact that I knew Sue was going to die long before she was willing to admit that she was going to die. Acute leukemia has a very low survival rate for people who are near 50. It's a much more survivable illness for young people. But once you get older, it's not one you're gonna make. And so we knew that pretty well. And I had a kind of a, you know, I've told the story about my own self-reliance. That's part of the story, right? I had kind of believed that, okay, instead of just being a husband, my new calling was to help her live well and die well. Because I think that's part of the Christian life, to die in faith. I'm working with an old guy in our church right now. He's dying. He knows he's dying. He's got emphysema so bad he can't breathe, and he just did a DNR, don't resuscitate, with the nurse in the hospital, and it's probably going to be in the next 72 hours he's going to die. How do you help somebody die well? So that was my new calling, right? And then I get stricken, and I'm in the hospital down the road, and I really got angry. I got angry with God. I just, this isn't fair. All you've asked of me to do is to help her live and die well, and now I can't even be there for her? This is ridiculous. And he answered that one by sticking me in the same hospital 40 feet down the hall so I could be there with her. And it was almost like he tapped me on the shoulder and said, give me some more. You got a little more to... But bottom line, he stripped everything away so much that I woke up one morning on the bed, and my blood numbers were so low because the chemo was so abusive. It's a beast, right? And I said to the nurse, why did you strap my arms down? She said, we didn't strap your arms down. I said, I can't lift them. She said, good. Then you finally hit the bottom. I mean, literally, I could not lift my arm. Now, I'm not a Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything, but I'm not a little guy, and I could not lift my arms up. And the only thing I could think to pray, this was my prayer all day for a week. Oh God. Period. I didn't know what to ask for. I had nothing left. I had no words to tell him what I wanted him to do. I was just crushed. And I believe now, I didn't know it then, but I believe now that God kind of rubbed his hands together and says, now we got something to work with. Because he's out of the way. But it was a long, hard journey in order to rediscover my sonship and my calling, and how utterly they were dependent not on anything I brought to the table, not my religion, not my preaching, not my praying, nothing. The only thing that mattered was him. And the only way he could get me there was to, I was a hard case. I was a pain in the neck for God to deal with, and he had to take everything away from me. And he did. And then, like Job, he gave me a new wife. And she kicks my butt. So, but that's another story. Yeah?
During our table talk, we had a discussion.
Here you go, Nate.
During our table talk, we had a discussion question, and you're probably better to answer it than I am, but we had a question in this talk of sonship. Why is Jesus referred to as the Son of Man, yet he's the Son of God?
Great question. If you're the son of a king in the ancient world, what's the typical disposition that you take to the streets when you leave the palace in the morning? You're the crown prince, right? So you're not going to be walking around the street like some slug. You got a little character, you got a little attitude, you expect a little bowing and scraping, you know? I'm crown prince. Kiss my ring. And other portions. Jesus, how does Philippians say it? Did not consider that position worthy to be clung to, but gave it up and took upon himself the form of a servant. Son of Man is an Old Testament Ezekiel Daniel term for the divine one who becomes a servant and would rather be known by Son of Man than by Son of God. But the surprise is, by becoming Son of Man, he got the glory of the Son of God. That's the upside down character of the kingdom of God. Same with us. The way we win is by losing it all. The way we live is by dying to ourselves. The way we become sons of God is by serving as sons of man. Okay, does that get it? Okay. We had an interesting conversation at this table. We were talking about our prayer life. We're going to talk more tomorrow about the things that get in the way of our sonship. But we were reflecting on this ripped curtain. And how much of our prayers, not like Jesus, when he talked to his father, he never had to talk about his sins, right? Because he didn't have any. So what in the world did he have to talk about? Well, he had to talk about us. He had to talk about the work that he was doing. He had to talk about how tired he was and how he needed the Spirit, all of that stuff. But he never had to deal with his sins. We were talking about how often our prayer life is a majority of conversation about our sins wrapped around a few other requests for the day. But what we really talk about is our sins. And it's often not only the sins that I committed today, but the sins I committed last week that I still can't believe you forgave me from. So I keep bringing them up over and over and reconfessing and re-repenting. And you almost get to the point when we begin to wrestle with what does it mean to be a son of God. One of the things it means is believing him when he says, I forgive you. It's done. The curtain's torn. You're my son now. Cut it out. I want you to confess it once. I want you to mean it when you confess it. Then I want you to get on with life. Now let's talk about that wife I gave you. That's suddenly a new purpose for prayer. I'm talking about that slice of life that's been entrusted to me, not just always rehearsing my sins as if they get in the way, right? Are we done?
Starting to yank you.
Man.
We got to save it. We got to save it. John, thanks for working for us tonight, and we're looking forward to having you back in the morning. Say something about the morning. How many of you guys were here last year for the breakfast that Hill's Barbecue made for us? Can I get a hearty, yeah? I mean, it's big and it's good and you want it. 8:30. So get out here in the morning. Hill's Barbecue making us a big breakfast and a big lunch as well. I'm going to ask musicians if they would come forward and lead us in a closing song. Want to let you know that after this meeting, so after this song in just a few minutes, if you would like to receive prayer, there'll be a couple of guys down in the purple room ready to pray with you or for you, however you want that to happen. So if you find yourself just desiring to be prayed for. Maybe you heard something tonight, or maybe you walked in here with something. There'll be some guys down in the purple room ready to pray for you the first few minutes after we break tonight.